With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's 8th of February 2022. My name's Patrick Smith. Welcome to the show that gives you all the news and views of the Belfast Giants and the Premier Sports Elite Ice Hockey League. An interesting weekend for the Belfast Giants. 5 points were dished out and three of them went to the Giants. So a successful weekend, you could take it that way, but a battle nonetheless against the Cardiff Devils. We're going to be looking at those games against the Cardiff Devils. We will be handing out the player of the month. We'll be chatting with Sam Roop, hearing from Adam Keefe, and looking ahead to what is a busy time for the Giants in the next week. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not too bad, Paddy. It's lovely to see you again, mate. All dressed up for the show I see tonight.
Yes, I'm still in work clothes. It's been one of those days. So it's another, it seems to be a lot of these coming at the minute where I'm trying to wing a podcast. So let's see how that goes. Mr. Kitchen, how are you? Have you enjoyed the weekend?
Yeah, my throat was a bit sore on Saturday morning. Getting abuse off the Cardiff fans is always good crack. But if you were a neutral watching that game on Friday night, especially, I mean, it's an absolutely fantastic advert for Premier Sports Elite League. And even the Saturday game, I thought it was really, really competitive, as you would expect anyway, against Cardiff. And I thought that over the weekend itself, that both games were absolutely brilliant.
We're going to get stuck into those in a second. But before we do, I'm actually going to start the show with two things that I was thinking about earlier today that I thought, you know what, I'm actually going to start the show with these. And they're nothing to do with hockey, but two things to do with people we know from within in hockey. And one of them is I just want to give a shout out to young Blake, who's going through a bit of a time at the minute, going through withdrawals and all the stuff that's going on to him. And I know it looks tough, it sounds tough. And we just want off the top of the show just to give a big shout out to that lad. And also a big congratulations to the folks, the Marcin and Seth, and of course Dahi today, to being Tuesday, was the announcement that the opt-out on organ donation has now become Dahi's law. And a fantastic, fantastic piece of work for them to achieve that, Davey.
Yeah, and look, Smallsy put an absolutely brilliant post up on her Facebook today about different ones that she's been, you know, closely linked to over the years with the Belfast Giants. And, you know, you only need to think about Dylan and Tom Simpson, blood donations, all the things that we've done. But brilliant for Dahi to be involved in that and be involved with the Giants. And it's a lovely little link up for everybody. As far as Blakey goes, we follow his story very closely on social media, and we give shouts out to Christine and say how strong she must be, and Pixie and the rest of the family. And all. To see wee Blake going through that is nothing short of heartbreaking. And I read it on a daily basis because I love to keep up with how he's doing. And my heart goes out to them every single day. Strength from wherever they get it. And, you know, for us, those of us that believe in and prayers and all, get them out there, people, because, you know, this family need our support. And they're inspirational in what they're doing. And, like, I can't say good enough things about them. They're just such a strong family. And you can only pray that Blake pulls through this. And, you know, we love them very much. And we send them our love and best wishes, of course.
Says, you know, you're within the organization and close to the organization, you see, and you're, you know, close to Smallsy and all the stuff that she does, but to see this, you know, these lads and how close they are to the organization themselves, it's something that the Giants will obviously want to send out their best to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just Blake and Dahi. There's plenty of our kids, especially the donation side of things. You know, you've had Nicole, you've had Tom, you've had Dylan, there's other kids as well who have been fortunate to basically have their transplants, and now with everything in the widening the scope to a certain extent with regards to, you know, the Northern Ireland people having to donate unless they opt out is absolutely phenomenal. It's been campaigned on for far too long, and obviously Dahi's mum and dad have been really strong behind that. So that's absolutely fantastic. I got a phone call today to find out about it, to be honest, from Laura. And let's just say that she was very, very pleased about it. And look, I know that, you know, Laura, especially, you know, the amount of time and effort she puts into all that behind the scenes things with regards to the charity side of things and regards to sorting. And that's been a difficult year for her because there's only so much we can do this year with regards to the way the COVID restrictions have been in. And I know that, you know what, she's missing that part of the thing, the job. I mean, it's not that she doesn't do enough hours as it is, but I know that she's missing that part of the job. You know, I know she phones, we break our FaceTimes, Blakey, all the time. And yeah, just as Davey says, you know, hopefully we man put us through sooner rather than later. And to see him back at the SSE Arena this year, because being stuck away from his family and away from all his friends and family, obviously, and the Giants since the 29th of August, I think it was, is just far, far, far too long. And you know, Christine's basically sleeping in the hospital room. So, you know, it's for, as Davey says, having a strong family like that and the support that they get from everybody around them, the whole bigger family circle, is nothing short of remarkable. So our thoughts do go out to Blake and Di and all these other kids who are having issues and challenges. And hopefully we can, you know, do something for them when the time comes. But Paddy, I think that's a really nice touch to start off the podcast with.
I think it's, I was thinking about it earlier on. I think normally when we speak about these things, we speak about them at the back end and we talk about them in the AOB. And sometimes there's people who have given up on a view from the bridge by then. So it's, you know, it's worthwhile. I just want to say, you know, give our best congratulations to Dahi and co, and give our best to Blakey and all the ones out there associated with the Giants and stuff. And yeah, we'll no doubt we'll get updates on them. We'll pass them on to you. Let's get stuck in, gents, to these two games that took place on Friday and Saturday at the SSE Arena against the Cardiff Devils. We'll start off with Friday night's game. 4,128 people in attendance as the Belfast Giants ran out 5-3 victors. And what a first 10 or so minutes it was. JT Pickenich with the opening goal after 15 seconds. Lewis Hook scoring 5 minutes later. Pickenich with a shorthanded goal about a minute after that. And then a Pickenich hat-trick with 11 minutes and 19 seconds gone in the game made it 4-0 to the Giants. Josh Batch pulled one back. And then Brandon McNally on the power play and Jake Kohler on the 53-13 in the game before Slater Doggett in the empty netter made it 5-3 to the Giants. And that's Tyler Bescarouani, 33 shots against, 3 goals against. The other side, Matt Carruth, lasted all of 11 minutes, 12 shots against, 4 goals against. But before, and I want to give a big shout out to the young lad who handed him a Twix. You are my troll of the week. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Well done, son. And he was replaced by Taron Cozen, 28 shots against, no goals against, and 47 minutes played. Your referees for the night?
Paring
and Tom Paring and Stefan Hogarth. Davey, those first 10 minutes, wow.
Yeah, but you see, we talk, well, I don't so much anymore. You at the end of the show, we talk about what you're going to have to do in the next. And funny, I'd spoke to Sizz. I was bubbling in the afternoon. I was really excited about these games. These were nervy games because of the magnitude of them. And I spoke to Glover just before face-off as well. And we all agreed, we just got to get at them. We've got to get them. And we've got to get at them early. And funny how much we've talked about Carruth has been their player of the series across all the games. Besco had been ours and it was going to be a shutdown game.
Phenomenal, as you say, Deco, man.
Oh, no, I've forgot to cut the audio, sorry about that sound, or Paddy. Longer's turned it over just in front of our own bench, and we've sprung, and JJ's obviously gone in, and Carruth thinks he's made the save. I assume that's what he's done. He thinks he's got it covered, and it's bobbled out, and JJ's obviously gone on the wraparound and banked it in to put us 1-0 up. And what a start. My goodness, what a start. And we just kept the foot on the throat in that first 10 minutes. I suppose it forces them immediately. They got a little panicked in that first period, and they started trying to chase the game instead of just worrying about let's just get into the game. They started trying to chase that goal back, and that let us get the breakaway for the second. And then, you know, things just snowballed, and I think they called the timeout possibly after the third goal. And then we've gone and scored the fourth, obviously. And then I think at that point when they made the goalie change, they started playing more like the way they played the rest of the season, and they clawed their way back into it incrementally, and they just ran out of time, actually. I think over the course of the first two periods, I thought we were exceptional. I really did. I thought both teams kind of shut it down a wee bit in the third period. Obviously, the Cardiff Devils came roaring back a wee bit, but over the course of the game, I don't think you could argue at all with the 2 points going to the Belfast Giants.
Says, you know, obviously we will focus quite a bit on those opening exchanges, on those opening 10 minutes. And the Giants were in the ascendancy, and getting that, you can just see, for those watching YouTube, the excitement that was in the barn at that, because, you know, as those goals came in, and I didn't get a chance to watch this live, I was out, but as those goals came rolling in on flash scores, I couldn't believe it myself.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere on Friday, it was absolutely brilliant, you know, and that's the whole arena. And you've got to, you know, even the Cardiff Devils brought numbers in, and they didn't really get an opportunity to shout until they got their first goal there after about 14 or 15 minutes. But it was just a blistering start. You know, Adam emphasised on the boys in the morning skate, you know, how important it was to get off to a good start. And you know, as Davey's been at those games in Cardiff this year, you know, we should have, sorry.
Says the jump across you there, actually, because I think you said in commentary that Kiefer was not happy with kind of the energy levels or whatever at pre and the morning skate, yeah, or whatever, and he'd give them a proper rocket.
Yeah, that was Dicko. Dicko had basically said that, but you know, he emphasized after the practice, after the morning skate, how important it was to get off and up and running. And you know, I don't think we've scored four goals quicker this season, David. I think you'd probably have to look back at the stats on that. But you know, to get off the last start, a goal after 15 seconds, you know, and like, we all know that I, you know, go nuts every once in a while, and you get the odd hate mail now to a certain extent from people coming in.
This one here says the Slater Doggett empty netter. It's in! It's in! It's in! That killed me. I was absolutely
drained after Friday night. I was absolutely done in. I mean, I had to call. I mean, when we did those six games for the Continental Cup, the six games in a row, you know, 2-2-2. Right. That, I mean, that was wild, and it was difficult because it didn't, obviously didn't know the names and of half the team. Well, three of the teams that were there, so it was really difficult to get going. But overall, I thought that the game on Friday night was just a fantastic spectacle of hockey for the Elite League. And you know, we got their great start. Bush gets rocked coming across the blue line for, you know, 7 or 8 seconds before their first goal. You know, and even at that time, I know there was a few people chirping saying it was a bad hit. I didn't think it was a bad hit. I thought it was a fair hit. I called it at the time. Dicko thought the same thing, and Bush just sort of had his head down. But you know, to get that goal for them to come back, and everybody knew, anybody that doesn't understand the hockey just wouldn't have got it on Friday night, because the fight back from Cardiff was excellent. I thought we controlled the first period until that point. I thought that the second period, again, we had the best of the play. We had more chances to increase the score, and we didn't. Cozen, who came in for Carruth, was outstanding. He made some of the saves. Again, we probably didn't get as much grade A chances on him as what we had in the first 11 minutes. But he played really, really well and just kept us at bay. And they sort of tightened the house around him as well. But, you know, to come in, to get that four-goal lead was imperative. And it showed later on in the game, because, again, I thought we tired after a really quick start. And we just had to find the spirit and find the last goal for the empty netter with Slater Doggett, as you say, Davey. So overall, the Friday night game was really pivotal for the weekend. It was really, really important to get the win. Davey, as I say, Davey texted me probably at about 6 o'clock or 6:15, and he's really nervous of the game. I wasn't nervous of the game at all, and it's not really like me. I thought, you know, I sort of knew where we were going to come to town, and we were going to try and, you know, get off to a really good start, and I was expecting that, but I wasn't expecting the Devils to be so bad for the first 11 minutes, probably. But as I say, they got their goal. They managed to get the second. You know, it's not on the highlight, this part of the highlights here, But 40 seconds into the third period, Besko comes up with an absolutely unbelievable glove save. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. You know, they were controlling the play down low. They got the puck to the high slot. That, you know, one-timer came in, and he just threw the glove up, and I thought it was brilliant. And then, again, because we played both games over the weekend against Cardiff, was it later in that first game, David, that he did the windmill?
Yep. Same game, yeah.
You know, another brilliant save from Besko. And, you know, apart from, obviously, JJ getting the man of the match because he got the hat-trick, to be honest, Besko should have been right up there with the regards to picking off the man of the match. So, fantastic to get the first win in the first game. But you knew Cardiff Devils were going to come out feeling a wee bit aggrieved on the next day.
To go back to, before you go on there, Paddy, to go back to what Ciz is saying there, Besko was exceptional on the Friday. Cardiff Devils, although we blew them away for quick goals, they had 19 grade A's in the first period. You know, Besko, and then he came out, as Simon said, that amazing glove save and the one where he's flicked backwards as well. He's kept us in that game despite us being, you know, that's when we talk about execution. You get good saves from your goaltender, and the boys execute at the other end of the ice. This team's quite unstoppable. And our transition play from D to forward and getting those, the goal from, is it Laker goes down the left wing and pops wee sauce one across for Hickey coming in. We just did them with speed in the first day. They weren't expecting that kind of, and to be honest, am I disappointed? 8-5 that ended in points then across the six games, wasn't it? I think we can be a little disappointed with our return from, isn't that right? 2-4, nothing in Cardiff. Two home wins and an OT shootout.
They've one more point than we do from the matchups.
No, three more points.
They get 8 points because they got six points in Cardiff.
Correct.
And they've taken obviously two. So 8-5. That's a disappointing return in terms of what we've put into those six games, because I think we deserved more than what we've got out. And sometimes it goes into Sunday. I think we probably played better on Sunday, even perhaps than we did on Saturday. Or Saturday than Friday. Sorry, yes, Sam. Here, I say they got me to get my days mixed up. I think we played better in the second game, even potentially, than we did in the first game, and we didn't get. But we'll come on to that. It's a disappointment that it's ended up at 5. They could be crucial points at the end of the season. But you know, there's other things to talk about in this first game that you'll probably come on.
I'll come to that. Our guest later on is Sam Rupp, and says him and Sam Duggan, Sam on Sam action. It was a hell of a fight halfway through the game.
Do you know what? I think Davey's probably better to talk about that, because he's seen the games in Cardiff when there was a bit more niggle about it. And that's carried over from a couple of games. Sam Duggan wanted that. He wanted that fight and I don't know if he's been targeted by the coach to basically say, you know, get Rui up off the ice, because he plays a lot of minutes and he's consistent. You know, he just keeps things steady back there. But I'll tell you what, he might be knocking on his door very quickly anytime soon, because he got absolutely hammered. He was had so many rights, he was begging for a lift. So, you know, but David's seen games in Cardiff as well.
I remember when it happened, or just after it happened, I think Dicko has said, Sam Duggan's been looking for that for a couple of minutes. And I text says and said, Sam Duggan's been looking for that for three games. And he has chased Sam Rue up around. And we talked about it actually on one of the podcasts, and I can't remember if it was the Cardiff game or the Belfast game, where Duggan is chasing them around, agitating at almost every breakdown where they're on the ice, agitating for that. And if that is, you know, this isn't a bad trade-off for us, because taking Sam Rupp off the ice also affects the Rupp-Rain, you know, defensive partnership. It's more than just taking Sam Duggan off the ice. You've maybe got a penalty to kill, there could be instigators, all this kind of thing. But, you know, it just got to that point where, And Sam can answer this question himself. We'll maybe save the main chat on this, though, when Sam's on.
Yeah.
But my goodness, he fed him his dinner. And it was great to see. Love to see
it
that.
Just adds to, in a game like that where the Giants are absolutely throwing it, the Giants are absolutely throwing it, that just adds to the atmosphere and gets things ramped up to 11. You know, you could feel like I've watched the game back and you can feel the atmosphere just watching it. You can see how much the fans are into it. And you always say it, says, you know, when things like that happen, everybody's on their feet.
Yeah.
Everybody's on their feet. They love it.
You know, we've a wide range of of ages and people that come to the SSC Arena to watch the Belfast Giants, and every rink's probably the same. But, you know, I'm not just talking about the kids who are bouncing about like lunatics. There's got, you know, there's pensioners that are up bouncing about, you know, throwing punches, trying to make sure, you know, to spur our players on against whoever they're fighting against. And that's something, we know we haven't been physical enough this year. And I think, there's a video, I can't remember where it is, but there's a video showing from behind the bench of a fan taking the video from sitting behind the Giants team bench and looking at this two Sams fighting, and Kiefer sort of, you know, watching every punch being thrown. And then at the end of it, when Duggan goes down and Sam gets to that last right going in, you sort of see Kiefer just throwing his chest back as if to go, good boy.
You know, did I not send you the clip from the other side of the rink, and I've just zoomed in on Kiefer the whole fight?
I haven't seen that one.
Kiefer is living that whole thing, and as you say, at the end when he drops him, you just see Kiefer just gives the clipboard a wee clap and just steps back down off the bench. But he's engaged in that the whole time. He's like, it's a brilliant. I'll send it to you because I've clipped it and zoomed it in because I watched him the whole fight rather than what was going on in the foreground, what was going on in the background, because I'd seen the video you're talking about, and I got those people to send me all videos, so I was going to clip them all together, but I didn't get time to do it for tonight. I'll maybe put that all together as we montage, but as you say, Kiefer was living that whole moment.
Yeah, it's all about, as I say, we you know, we've had a pretty decent record at home this year, and you know, there's still a lot of games to play at home.
Yep.
A lot of games, so we need to keep it moving, we need to keep it momentum, especially on at home. But you know, leading into this week, obviously the two games against Cardiff there at the weekend took a lot out of the boys. You know, I know there's a few bumps and bruises, and I'm sure there is a Cardiff side as well, but we need to suck it up and we need to get ready for the next game, because the Wednesday night game against Coventry is absolutely huge for us now as well.
The five out of six in Belfast is by no means a disaster. Five out of six against Cardiff, would I have taken that at the start of the season? Probably. It's the 0 out of 6 in Cardiff is what's biting us in the backside. And the first two games in Cardiff, out of those 4 points, we needed 3-4 of them because we deserved them. Unfortunately, we didn't get them. So you have to find them somewhere else now.
Let's have a quick look at the game that took place on Saturday. Bigger crowd, 5,028.
The biggest crowd of the season.
5,028 attended as the Belfast Giants went down 2-1 in a shootout against those Cardiff Devils. It was an early goal for Slater Doggett that set the tone, and Stephen Dixon on the power play on a too many men call, which we'll come to, made it 1-1. Nothing separated them through the third or overtime before Brodie Reid is credited with the shootout winner. With regards to goalies, Tyler Bescarani, 27 shots against, 1 goal against. Matt Cruth redeems himself a bit, 39 shots against, 1 goal against, and was quite happy he threw himself against the plexi. In regards to the lineups, in regards to the referees, Tom Pering, Stephen Hogarth, again, says, you know, given the free flow and the free scoring that the Giants did on Friday night, the early goal on Saturday we thought might have set the tone, but it was an altogether more tense affair.
Listen, I honestly thought it was going to be like that. I didn't think the Cardiff Devils were going to give up too much on Saturday after the way they played on Friday night. It was great to get off to a good start. I mean, and what a finish by Dogs, who just came straight off the bench, but a heads up play by Laker, you know, sending out of the corner. We had chances to go further ahead, and Carruth, you know, he got a hand to him. He stood tall and played very well. But, you know, we've talked about this on numerous occasions this year. When we're playing really well and we don't score, that's the bit where we need to, you know, we really need to be ruthless. We need to put teams away and not give them the chance to start breathing again. And there's that goal coming in for anybody watching on YouTube. I mean, it was just a brilliant finish from Dogs. 2 goals the weekend. He started the month really, really well. And, you know, since Christmas time, just before Christmas, he's been really solid. So, real opportunity to try and put a bit of a space on that when we got that first goal, and they came back. They had chances that we give a couple of power play opportunities. We didn't get a power play at all during the 60 minutes regulation, not one power play. And I applaud the officials for letting the guys play, let them, you know, put the whistles away and let them play. But there was a number of penalties that should have been called and weren't, and that was a really disappointing part of it. Normally, if you get, I'm not saying you should get favoritism, absolutely not. You call it the way you should see it. But for us to give up four penalties in the first 60 minutes and then not get one back in return, I thought it was a bit odd. But they give up that too many men penalty, and I know Davey wants to talk about it. That they give that too many men penalty up and concede the goal on it was just really disheartening. It's we've been called on a few of them this year, and for a too many men call of a game of that magnitude, you've got to be absolutely nailed on. And this is where I'm going to bring Davey in.
Thanks for that. I was just actually looking up very, very quickly the game sheet, because the penalty that they took for slashing in overtime,
yes,
same penalty shots called for that. Very, very borderline. I think it's on, is it on Laker maybe?
I can't quite
remember, but he's through, he's got separation, on a breakaway, he gets slashed from behind. Another referee within this league calls that as a penalty, I can guarantee you. It is what it is. Some of them go for you. Sometimes refs don't have big enough cherries on the night and they want to keep it, let the players on the ice decide it. And I think I was a penalty shot. I don't think anybody would have complained too much, or the letter of the law. And then you come into the too many men, one decision, we're not going to quite follow the letter of the law. One decision, we're going to call from 90 feet to the letter of the law. For me, it's a difficult one, because Laker's going into the red zone, and maybe should he drop it in? Should he dump it in and let the left winger chase it? D-man pokes it and it goes straight to Longer, who's jumping off the bench, and Longer doesn't really have time to react other than to play the puck. Now, when he plays that puck, I've said, he's outside the 1.5 meter zone. That's fair enough, but Kevin Rayner, it is. It's changing up. Rayner's got his feet in the bench. And for me, the letter of the law is the player can't, if he's outside the 1.5 meter zone, and I think it's rule 1, 2, 3, he can't play that puck until the other player has 1 foot in the bench. Now, to me, he doesn't play the puck, but is he engaged in gameplay as soon as he goes to the puck? I don't know. There's a gray area. There's interpretation. There's by the referee. Hoagie's called it from whatever 80 feet. He said, I'm seeing two things here, and that's too many men. Says called it in the night and said he thought it was fair enough. I think some go for you, some go against you. In a game of that magnitude, again, we've had playoff finals decided on too many men calls, if you remember, a number of years ago. Greg Stewart looping back. Looping back, came on the ice by accident, jumped off. But I think, as Simon says, that's about 10 times this season we've been called for that. That's something just to keep an eye on. But disappointing to concede the goal. I think if we look back again on a bit of analysis on our slot coverage on the goal, we probably would have done things differently if we had another opportunity to kill that penalty. Goes against us 1-8 and we'll go to penalty shots. And at that stage, hey, it's a lottery, and you want your goaltenders to be nice and aggressive and make big saves. And just unfortunately, one goes against us. And I thought we were exceptional across the weekend and probably deserved. Go ahead, Seth.
It'd be interesting to see how many penalties for the too many men have been called with the long change.
Second period.
I mean, I know it's it does make a difference, especially if you're playing right D and you've got to skate the whole way to the bench. It is very difficult. And that's obviously where Rayner's coming from. And I think it was Rayner, wasn't it? He was changing up with
it was Rayner. It's actually the right change at the right time. Rayner's going to bench, Longer's jumping on, because we're going in, as I said, we're going in the attacking zone. It's an absolute safe long change, and sometime. Well, not do it tonight, but sometimes you'll hear us talking on the podcast often about the long change in the second period being a bit more difficult and stuff. And for people that are new to the game, we'll try and expand on that some other time. But if Laker doesn't just get that slight poke check on him and it comes flying out of the zone, it's a safe enough change. So I think the change that the guys have made are all right. And if the puck doesn't come out, we're not called for too many men at all. It's just because it's a perfect storm, if you like, of offense, defense, and a change all happening at the same time. And all those multitude of things just came together at the wrong time. But I'll check out the TMMs for you, mate, and just to look at the first period, second period, third period breakdown on them.
That penalty in, like you say, that penalty in overtime, there was a real chance there to take it, but the Cardiff Devils defence had to hold strong, and they did.
Yeah, I thought they did really, really well, but I think from a criticism from our side of things, they didn't shoot the puck. I think Adam would have been, you know, more looking for more shots coming in, and especially when they went with the normally a lot of teams go with two forwards and one D, but they went with a two D, two big boys trying to block the puck coming through. You know, because Register and Mickelson were going for the majority of it, and then Stephen Dixon, who's, you know, he's solid player. He obviously got their power play goal. But I just think if there's anything to criticize us with for that power play, you just didn't shoot the puck. You want to get Caruth moving side to side. You've only got four guys on the ice, so things are a little bit changed up compared to a normally 5-on-4 power play is. But as I say, I mean, again, I thought it was an absolutely brilliant game. It was a really good game to commentate on. It had everything. You know, both games had everything, and it was a real physical battle. Both teams, you know, they would have come off the ice on some Saturday night. Thanks, David. They would have come off the game on Saturday night, really, you know, feeling the effects off two tough games. And I was speaking to Coops about it this morning. You know, how you feeling from the weekend? He says Sunday was you know, I was glad we're getting Sunday off and resting up. So it's I agree with David. You know, if we had to pick up a couple of points in Cardiff over the three games we played there, I think, you know, we'd be a lot happier. But it's not the end of the world. You know, the way. I said this on the game on Saturday night, you know, said that Caruth celebrated, you know, a wee bit over the top, and all the Cardiff fans were chirping me, you know, just going fishing, you're picking my big cherries, it's great. But, you know, the way he celebrated, like he won the Stanley Cup, and then apparently there's a photograph floating around of him drinking a beer and a bottle of champagne after the game as well. So, you know, look, there's a long, long way to go this season. There were 11 points clear in 2018. With about 14 games to go, it's a wee bit too early to start counting your what do you call it? What's that saying?
Count your chickens.
Yeah, it's a long, long way to go. So, you know, the big thing about this is, right, we're fighting against the Cardiff Devils for our six games, which are all gone now. They're gone. The Steelers are winning. They're just finding the way to win. They won, you know, on Sunday night, and they won on Saturday. They're just finding a way to win.
Yep.
And they're extending the lead a wee bit. So it's the Steelers now. We've got to play five times. We get duffed by them. We owe them one, and you know that's not too far away down the line when we've got to start picking up the games against the Steelers. So it's there's still a long, long way to go in this league title. There's going to be teams from the bottom end that are going to beat somebody, you know, that they're not expecting to. So it's I don't think it's gone and it's all over by any means at all.
This was the first game for me that, and I was just seeing you going for it there. This was the first game for me that I've really seen two teams almost shut it down in the third period in terms of risk v reward. Let's have what we hold and go into overtime and see if we can take the extra point in overtime or and then obviously the penalty coming for the Giants. The Devils shut it down at that stage. We're happy, delighted to take penalty shots and obviously then they get rewarded with the extra point. But that's the first time, you know, the Giants had a number of small chances in the third period. Devils really nothing worth talking about. You know, both teams kept each other to the outside. And we talked about that last week, about what the Cardiff Devils would do and what they've done with their game management over the number of games. They use those big bodies and box out. And the Giants couldn't get inside in that third period. I'm going to say not that we did as much as we potentially could have, because I think that risk reward that we're talking about, where we're kind of, we'll try and nick something here. If we go to overtime, we'll try and nick something. And we're trying to, 5 out of 6 points is a decent enough return. As I say, it's the points in Cardiff that were lost. It's the gut check on the Devils series this season.
An entertaining weekend nonetheless. And the highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
Highlights, of course, available on YouTube from Belfast Giants and Giants TV. And we're going to move on.
Sorry, just have to give a shout out to Emma. Emma Noble, yes. did the highlights this weekend with Neil getting downgraded to the Eurosport Olympics.
Downgraded, yes, indeed. and good luck to him. Right, time to move on to the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. We're delighted to be joined by a man who, since he's just logged on, has changed venues of where he sat three times. So I'm just making sure that he's are you okay? You're all right where you are right now? Yes, this is good. Okay, please welcome to the show number two for your Belfast Giants. That's Sam Rip. How are you doing, mate? You okay?
Hey, boys. Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you, fellas?
Sam, turn your phone right, or your iPod right.
Oh.
There we go.
Is that better? Well, there we go.
That's perfect. Right.
The how's things?
Yeah, really good. Had a couple days here to just kind of relax and get back into things. And yeah, doing real well. How about you guys?
All good, mate. All good. So give us your take on the weekend. Obviously, you know, in that first game, you had your own starring role in the middle of the second period. But overall, the weekend, hard fought, but entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely hard fought. And even, you know, now I still kind of feel it. You know, a lot of energy was exerted, a lot of emotion going on through the games. But, you know, it was fun. I liked the challenge that we had, and I really liked how we played, too. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't get the result in the shootout, but, you know, you got to look at all the positives that came from those games and you know, the character win that we had the first night. It was truly special. So looking at the positives going forward, and, yeah, hopefully we can run into those guys again.
Yes, Sam, we've been talking over a number of weeks on the podcast. I guess you're maybe better looking at the positives. We sometimes focus on negatives, as life can sometimes be. Across the six games against the Devils this season, we'll probably look back on 8 points to M5 and be pretty disappointed, because I certainly felt the three games I watched in Cardiff, we were the better team, certainly for two and a bit of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's part of hockey. You know, sometimes you can be the better team in a game, and unfortunately the score doesn't result that. So, yeah, I mean, for some of those games, definitely we could, you know, we wish it could have went a different way. But, you know, we got to deal with the cards that we've been dealt. So, you know, use it as kind of momentum going forward here, and yeah, keep pushing.
Sam, I'm going to have to start talking about the fight, because I thought it was brilliant. You know, I think it's fair to say that Dugan was, you know, on your case over the last couple of games before that. And there's only so much, you know, chirping that you can take. And I don't even know if you understood what he was saying. You know, sometimes you just have to, as I say, enough's enough, and let's stand up and be counted. And you took it to center ice on Saturday night and did that. Friday night, sorry, and did that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I haven't fought in, gosh, I think like maybe 5-6 years kind of thing. So to do it again, it was actually pretty exhilarating. So yeah, but it was definitely, it had been brewing over several different games. I'm not sure what exactly started things between us, but we definitely had some battles, and I guess I got under his skin, and you know, a part of it was, you know, in the moment, and yeah, just kind of happened. And it definitely got the fans and everyone involved.
And that's what you just touched on it there. You seem to get under his skin. You seem to be pretty good at that. I mean, you've annoyed quite a few guys in the league this year. Are you learning a few chirps off Scott Conway by living with him, or is it something that you've grown up with and you just enjoy doing?
Well, it's definitely not the chirping part. I don't have the skill that Cons has with that. that's for sure. But I think it's just kind of little things, you know, just poking players, just kind of getting in their way, making different contacts, just kind of even getting in their way sometimes agitates a player more so than chirping does. So I don't know. Maybe it's just my face. That gets people wound up, but it seems to be working.
It also, Paddy, just before you go, it also raised a fiver for the Kevin Rain charity, because Scott Fulton had pledged £5 for every Sam Rip fight this year. So another £5 to Action Mental Health Northern Ireland. So fair play there.
Well done. The obviously, I'm going to come to Twitter questions just a second, but obviously, and one of them, this is kind of related to the one from that we've got in from Teal Trooper, but obviously your brother played in this league in Manchester a number of seasons ago, but you'd obviously have consulted him before you moved to the Elite League. Teal Trooper's asking, you know, likes of Roach, Forsberg, McFall, these guys, you know, were these all part of influences when it comes to came to join the Belfast Giants?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I played university hockey with Roachy, Forzy, and Buck, and you know they're all good friends of mine. So definitely having those guys as a reference, it helps me coming here. And yeah, I talked to my brother about his time in Manchester, and you know he loved it. He said if I have the opportunity to go overseas, I definitely should. You know, get to take in the culture and get to play hockey. You know, it's something that is really exciting. So having the opportunity to come to Belfast is just been amazing. You know, it's truly a great experience, and I'm loving it so far. On top of that, my mom was born and lived in England and until she was 21. So this is my first time being in the UK, and I've always wanted to experience it.
And did your brother warn you about the ice in that rink in Manchester?
yeah, he did. The drizzle dome, it's wow, it's an experience to say the least.
Sam, just before Paddy goes back to Twitter there, and you sort of referenced about coming to live in the UK and stuff, and we don't always ask the players this, but like, what's the Belfast experience itself been like, you know, living in Northern Ireland? You know, we always like to think best fans in the league, best cars, best apartments, best healthcare, best everything. You know, when you come to Belfast, you're treated like a rock star here at times. You know, has Belfast lived up to the expectations for you just in a away from the rink?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's been an amazing experience so far. And, you know, the Giants organization, they're, you know, like you said, they're top notch. And, you know, the fans are just so passionate. And then the city is really great itself as well. Everyone is so approachable. Everyone's so kind. It's kind of like a home feeling away from home in a sense. And yeah, just I'm a real big fan of Belfast and the city itself. And yeah.
One coming out, we was a few from Twitter, one from Scott Cameron. How is playing alongside Kevin Rayne influenced your game?
Wow. Yeah, Rayner, he's an amazing player. You know, he does his job. He does all the little things right. And I'm definitely honored to play alongside him. I've learned so much. You know, a lot of the stuff is just like little details that he does right. You know, he's like a defensive minded player. And so anything that I can learn from him just by watching or communicating with him is, you know, also benefiting my game as well. So no, we're good friends on and off the ice, and it's been a privilege for sure.
Kind of related to that is one from Ruth McCauley, who said, you know, obviously this team is super competitive versus other teams, but is there a competitiveness within the room itself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think internal competition is a great way to, you know, motivate and encourage players to be our best. You know, every day in practice, it's expected of us to bring our best and to compete. And, you know, ultimately that helps the players grow and learn new things as well.
And one more here from Sam, who just basically asking you, what goals do you have yourself for the end of the season?
Yeah. So, you know, as a team, obviously, you know, it's our goal to win championships. That's why we're here. That's why, you know, that's what we focus on in the games, in practice. We always have, that mentality in the back of our minds. So for me, that's definitely a huge goal of mine. And, you know, personally, I've been really focused on, you know, self-improvement. So I'd like to continue to establish, you know, good habits, daily routines that continue to make me a better person and a better player.
Sam, I just wanted to touch on your off-ice side of things. I know you're at school this year. You're studying with Ulster University as well, aren't you? Or is it LaSalle University you're with?
With LaSalle.
Nacelle. So how are you finding, how are you finding your time with regards to studying hockey and obviously, you know, both practicing and playing?
Yeah, it's actually been it's been pretty good so far. The workload hasn't been too tough. I mean, obviously there's days where I've had to grind and, you know, get work done, but at the same time, you know, living the hockey player life, there's also a lot of free time that we get. So having something to do in my free time has been kind of nice. And so I'm definitely enjoying the process and really happy with my decision to pursue school.
And we're roughly halfway through the season right now. How do you think the position we are, firstly in the league? Obviously, you've got the Challenge Cup semi-final coming up shortly. How do you think things are progressing so far halfway?
Yeah, progressing pretty well. I think, you know, each day and game, we seem to be coming closer together as a team. So we've definitely put ourselves in a good position to chase the title. And obviously Sheffield, I mean, they keep on winning as well. So, you know, there'll come a time where, you know, that maybe they go through a slump. And so we just have to keep doing our part and things will work themselves out.
Sam, you talked there about self-improvement and enjoying school and enjoying hockey and enjoying Belfast and all. This is going to sound like a bit of a self-help group here, but Simon said in like the 20 years or so that we've been following the team, he has not met a happier, more positive guy around the locker room. Like in terms of Belfast Giants, he says you're amazing around the room, amazing on the ice, off the ice, just happy-go-lucky. You haven't stopped smiling since you've been on the podcast. Most people are a bit grumpy when they're on here. But, talk us through, what makes Sam Ruop so happy?
You know, that's kind of a tough question. But, I mean, just the life that I'm able to live right now, you know, I'm truly blessed. You know, it's not every day that you get to be a professional athlete, you know, living in Belfast. So that definitely plays a big part of it. But, you know, I'm not perfect all the time. You know, I definitely have emotions and, you know, I get angry sometimes, as you can see on the ice. But if I can, you know, bring positivity, a positive light to the room and help other people, help other people have positiveness as well, then, you know, it feels good and it's contagious and it kind of keeps on spiraling that way. So
I love happy Sam and I really, really love angry Sam. So if angry Sam wants to turn up anytime again soon, knock yourself out.
I understand that for sure. we'll see what I can do.
Yeah, just the positive attitude, and you say that's sort of rubbing off at the attitude of gratitude, if you like. You know, it does rub off, and it's like you cheered me up tonight just being on the podcast. So like, you know, thanks very much.
Oh, no, thank you. That's a pleasure. So
we'll let you go, Sam, because obviously but before you do, obviously it's a very busy next 5 days. You know, Wednesday you'll fly out there to face the Coventry Blades, and then there's a trip around Scotland with an extra game thrown in that wasn't in the schedule only a couple of weeks ago. You know, how's the prep going?
Pretty good so far. I mean, I haven't packed anything yet, so I'll have to do that. But I'm really looking forward to this challenge. You know, we get to go onto the road and, you know, bond as a team, you know, instead of looking at it as like, oh, you know, we play 4 games in 5 days, this is going to suck. We're more so looking at it as a challenge and something that we'll look back on and feel good about after completing it.
Well, listen, thank you very much for your time, mate. We really appreciate it, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much, boys. And thank you for having me. It's been an honor being on the podcast.
Couldn't go that far.
Cheers, Sam.
All right.
Cheers.
See you, boys.
Thanks.
big thanks to Sam Roop. What a guy. You're right about that positive attitude. He's like a proper smile on his face. Really, really great.
It's infectious. Like, I mean, again, you know, the first, goes back the first night was sort of, we had it, when JK coaches took us up around the North Coast, and just, you know, Sam coming over and introducing himself, and just the way his demeanor, his manner is, it's just the nicest guy.
Polite and pleasant.
Honestly, he really is. And you know, it was funny. We were sitting chatting, and he at that stage, he was calling Taff a magician for sharpening the skates. I don't know if he's still watching, by the way. Is he still backstage?
No, he's gone.
So, but he was calling Taff a magician. He says, I've never had my skates sharpened that good before. He, you know, Taff's a magician. It's unbelievable. And I said, I says, oh, no, he does my skates too. And Sam sort of just, what? You skate? And I went, I says, yeah, I'm a bit of a legend around these parts. And he went, really? Really? I had to pull out pictures of playing for Casseray and playing for Team Ireland. I think I might have showed him one of them ones. And I showed him the picture, and he sort of looked at the phone and went, that's not you. It's me. Well, it's half of me. it was a long time ago, but that's definitely me. He says, I can't say I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. And then a couple
you're going to get back there, Simon. You're going to get back there.
No, we're up to something now. It's all good. Like, it's all good. Good crack.
Yeah. You just have to point out, mate, if you go, as I discovered many years ago, there's a section in IIHF within the Hockey Hall of Fame. And if you go and pick up Ireland, there's one person scoring a goal on there. I was able to watch in the Hockey Hall of Fame a goal being scored by Mr. Simon Kitchen. That's all you just need to point out. If you want to see one of my goals, you just need to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's where you go. Anyway,
let's have a wee quick break, because I can't remember, Simon, did you play in the division, whatever it was, 2-3 against? Did you play against New Zealand in Dundalk?
Yeah.
And they did the haka on the ice, and you say your coach at the time wanted you to turn your back on it or something?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Tell the haka story. It was really disrespectful. Yeah, it was. They came before we played them. I think it might have been the third game. They made it be well known that they'd want to do the haka against us. And Jim Tippett said no. He said, there's no way, you're not bouncing on the ice. And I thought that was really disrespectful. In fact, it's one thing I regret at that time, because everybody sort of turned their back on it, and I was raging. I was sort of looking over at it, and that's one thing that I if I was changing anything in my hockey career, it would have been that, because that was very disrespectful from us. And with the lineup, it was a brilliant game against them, a really, really good game. I think they beat us 4-3, and they went on to win the gold, we won the silver. Anything about playing hockey for all those years.
Nope.
It
was
a bit of techie problems with Simon's sound.
But the right. Well, what we'll do is, while we're dealing with that, Simon had a chance to go down to training earlier today and had a chance to chat with Adam Keith.
Thanks, Glover. Take two. Competitive week against the Cardiff Devils, obviously coming out with the 5-3 victory on Friday night, and then a shootout victory. And I'm keeping going, I'm not stopping this one. The shootout loss on the Saturday night. It was two really good games, but were you disappointed not to get the 4 points?
Oh yeah, disappointed, frustrated, you know, especially for the group. I thought Saturday in particular was our better of the two games. Although obviously we had a good start on Friday, but across the full 60, I thought we were very solid on Saturday. So I was frustrated for the guys not to get that extra point. And, you know, but it is a game of inches, and you know, a couple mistakes here or there, you take a couple back, maybe it's supposed to go the other way.
This week, it doesn't get any easier. Four games and five nights, starting tomorrow night against Coventry Blaze. We've faced them recently, tough cross back to head, and they're always decent in their own barn.
Yeah, we look no further than the Coventry Blaze. Obviously coming off a big four-point weekend for them. We need to be ready. It's a smaller building. It's things happen fast in there, so we need to be on our A game and be smart defensively, that we don't give up much. But for us, it's a business trip. You know, that's the way we're looking at it. We're away. There's no distractions. We are approaching one game at a time and do business.
Big thanks to Adam Keefe, and we're going to blast on ahead here and deal with January's player of the month. There were four players that were put to the short list from your votes. 13% of the vote, Ben Lake. With 14% of the vote, I'm quite surprised, Griffin Reinhardt. And it was really, really tight at the top. 36% of the vote, Tyler Besker-Owani. And 1% ahead with 37% of the vote, it was...
Your AVF TV Player of the Month for January. Here you go. I won this probably, 40, 50 times here.
Thanks, Coach.
You want to say something?
Team had a great January. I couldn't do it without my teammates. It was lots of fun. Hopefully we keep it going the rest of the year.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, big congratulations to Mark Cooper, who says won by a single percent.
Yeah, and look, if well deserved. As I said, we talked about it last week when Beska was on. You know, we had a really good January, and big man, big Coops coming and scores. It was 24 points or 23 points, something altogether. Sorry, 14 or 15 points.
Yeah,
altogether. And, really, really strong month. He was complaining that because of the way the trophy sits, you can't really see it in the video. There's quite holes at the side of it. He's kind of supposed to drink out of this. And he says, can I take this home? So I think he's normally the boys leave it in the dressing room, but I think he's taking it home to put up in the mantelpiece and admire for the month. But Kiefer was not happy that we didn't present that trophy to him. He says, I probably won it every month. And he's the fans of me. So, you know, for being Kiefer, of course, I'm going to have to reset evidence.
Yeah, right. So while Simon's resetting, we'll have a chat. That was brutal.
I did laugh at Kiefer saying that because it was introduced after he finished his playing days. I think the player of the month, maybe, or maybe he just didn't. Yeah,
I think David Rutherford might have been the very first winner. So that dates it as when it started. But like, Coops had a great month. I know TV's Neil Coach Russell gave me a bit of stick last week on our little WhatsApp for not getting off the fence, but like, Mark Cooper's hard to argue with whenever he picked up the Elite League-wide Player of the Month award in the same week. So, you know, a worthy recipient for sure. And as we ran through the stats and the plus-minus and stuff that he had last month, and, you know, second Belfast Giants day to Ballymena. So it's great for him to win. I'm glad that he's took it home. I don't know whether we need to get it engraved again soon, Simon, or wait the end of the season for that. You know, I think Kiefer would have won it a few times had we been awarding it back in his day. And one other thing, I said to Simon there earlier on, I don't like to give out milestones now before they happen because crazy things happen. And obviously, at the weekend, Tyler Besker-Owani played his 100th and 101st game for the club. So he joins the 100 club. There's not that many Belfast Giants have played 100 games. I could tell you if I looked it up. But and of course, Mark Garside, before the game on Saturday, it would have been getting his a presentation from the Jackal. 800 games in Elite League competition. Me and Ronnie Nicol had a bit of a debate as to whether that was actually factual, but it's in and around. He's been in and around 800, and he's creeping up on Graham Walton's number for the Belfast Giants. And all being well, he keeps himself fit over the next few weeks. He'll maybe move up into second place behind Colin Shields.
Absolutely. Well, listen, big congratulations to Mark Cooper, who picked up not just the AVF TV Player of the Month award, but also the second best Player of the Month award, which is the Elite Leagues Player of the Month award, which isn't anywhere as prestigious as the one that we hand out.
No trophy.
Absolutely. And big thanks to Phonocab for sponsoring the award. As always, we'll be back at the end of this month for February's one. Quick bit of news. There's no Joel this week. We were going to say Google it, but, you know, I'll fill in a couple of bits and pieces of news that are worth talking about. Regards to scores, an interesting incident in regards to the Manchester Storm and the Coventry Blaze. CJ Mott was under COVID protocol for the full weekend, so Jordan Headley stood in goal for the Coventry Blaze and took two wins from the weekend over the Storm. A 4-1 win on Saturday, and I think it was a shootout win? It was a shootout win, yes, a 3-2 shootout win back in Coventry on Sunday. Sheffield just keep winning, as we said earlier on. You know, it's a team that we need to start chasing down and catching. We have a couple of games against them coming up early next month, but they had a tightly fought victory over the Dundee Stars 5-4 before travelling up to Glasgow to win 6-3 over the Clan. And the only other things I'd like to point out is that the Nottingham Panthers lost at home twice, both in overtime, both 2-1 to the Glasgow Clan, and then on Sunday to the Fife Flyers. Ah, well. However, the other big bit of news that came out of there, Davey, is that Dave Whistle has joined the coaching staff.
Actually, the big bit of news that came out of there was that Chris Lawrence played 2 games for the Fife Flyers and got three out of both games. And I've seen
back in the league.
Tops, I don't know, have been very, very quiet since the roster sizes were reduced to 19, actually, but that's maybe a different subject altogether. Chris Lawrence with a pretty naughty hit to get thrown out of the game for Borden in Nottingham on Sunday night. Surprised that perhaps didn't have a wee quick look at that, especially as it was 2 nights in a row. But yeah, Wisco and the Cardiff or to Nottingham, nothing really to say about that. He's going to end up with more clubs than Tiger Woods and tainting the legacy, but whatever keeps him happy.
So it's what's that regards to the coaching? Bracknell, of course, but then Belfast, Cardiff. Sheffield, Nottingham.
Leeds,
not far,
and Leeds, but I was just sort of sticking to our league, but yes, I didn't see that. Well, do you know what says
it did, because I said to you the other week, as soon as he got dropped from Leeds, I said announced, he'll be announced in Nottingham here, because it was around the Tim Wallace time, and here all those another one for says all those chickens coming home to roost or hens coming home to roost, get rid of Tim Wallace. That's the problem. Clearly, wasn't the problem. That there's a bigger endemic problem there in Lower Parliament Street, which I'm absolutely living off.
But on the Wiss thing, says it's good to see him back in the league. Okay. You don't care. Brilliant. I sort of was expecting that. That's fair enough. Right, then what we'll do is we'll start to wrap up the show by, of course, bringing the fact that the Belfast Giants, as we've mentioned a couple of times, have 4 games in 5 days. On Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m., they'll face the Coventry Blaze in Coventry before travelling up on Friday and Saturday for a doubleheader in Dundee against the Dundee Stars. Friday night, 7:30 p.m. and Saturday night at 7 p.m. before just travelling a little bit south to the Kingdom of Fife to face the Fife Flyers on Sunday at 6 p.m. Davey, I'm not going to ask you about the games in themselves. I'm just going to say about, we're coming into what is basically the business time of the season. We're in the, it's early February. The games are coming thick and fast. Now, when we come out of this, we'll face Fife, but then we'll face Nottingham twice, and one of those being a Challenge Cup semi-final, and that's in the space of just over a week. So, these games are coming fast.
It's busy. I was talking to Shades yesterday, and 12 weeks yesterday, the season's done. And I think the Belfast Giants have up to 29 games, I think it was, to play. 26, 20. I can't remember the exact figure. Talking about it yesterday. There's a lot of hockey to be played. And I know cliche as this is going to be, Paddy, there's only one important game at the minute, and it's tomorrow night. Tonight, if you're listening today, and yesterday, if you're listening on Thursday. But it's going for the throat from Wednesday. We just have to go one game at a time at this. We really can't look forward. You really can't. When the games are coming so thick and fast, you just have to play that next shift and see where it takes you to, and hope that you get enough points to get into those games with Sheffield, and then it's going to be winner takes all.
I don't know if CJ Mutt will still be in COVID protocol by the time that game comes around.
Don't know. He made it pretty difficult for us to do any goaltending analysis. I was saying, I don't know if I copied you. I did copy you and says, didn't I? Just with the information that the Mace on Headley, which there's not an awful lot of. And I seen Ben Bounds actually on Twitter saying, even if CJ Mott's fit, Coventry Blaze almost have a goalie there who's played 2-1-2, is hot, should be confident enough to stick him between the pipes.
Against the Belfast Giants? The Belfast Giants, as opposed to playing against, like I say, all due respect to the Storm, against the Manchester Storm, surely that's a very different prospect.
Don't know. Hot hand's a hot hand, but I would expect if CJ Mott's available and out of COVID, he'll be playing.
If he went into COVID on Friday, was it, or Saturday?
Well, he didn't play Saturday or Sunday, so I don't know whether he was in from Friday or not.
What's the rules in England now for COVID?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We'd have to test negative today and we'd have to test negative tomorrow.
Tomorrow to play.
Okay.
But then, yeah.
If he was positive on Friday's day zero and you can test then on day
and if it is a positive case that's actually put him out and not just a close contact, then the likelihood of him playing tomorrow is quite low, I'd say.
Yeah.
Personally. More likely, but it doesn't matter who we play, we're still going to beat them.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Interestingly, says, I thought it was interesting the point that Sam Root made earlier on about, you know, four games in 5 days doesn't really matter because it's just wanting to get out there and play, and it's the team camaraderie, it's getting out there and being part of something for those 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, like, I keep on talking about this. The guys don't want to practice, they want to play games, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, the quicker they get the games over with, you know, nor 26 or 27 games, as Davey says, then quicker they get in their holidays. So, you know, let's just take one at a time. But this next 5 days, starting tomorrow, is going to make a big mark on where we are come next week. You know, I'm not sure what our teams play this week. I know there's a couple of games happening this week, during the week, before the weekend. So, you know, we could be past Cardiff, or we could be up to where Sheffield are, even though we'll play a couple of games more than Sheffield by the weekend. So, most important, as Davey says, is tomorrow, and that's all Adam's concentrating on. Coventry plays is the next opponent. We've had a couple of tough games against them. They played very well. They didn't play well the first night we played against them here a couple of weeks ago, but they played very well the next night. So, you know, they in their own rank, they've already beaten us this season. They beat us in the Challenge Cup first leg. Hopefully we're too strong for them and we'll come out fighting, because hopefully all the boys are ready to go.
It's good. Just Sam talking there, you know, they're going away. It's the guts of 6 days, I guess. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll probably not come back to Monday. So 6 days,
yep.
Bit of a bonding session together. They'll play, obviously, in Coventry tomorrow, and then they'll travel up to Scotland. So they've kind of, it's not a day off as such. It's a travel day. But, you know, it's a day where they'll be able to spend a bit of time together and get to know each other a wee bit even better and just have a bit of fun for a change. And, you know, without the pressure of schoolwork for some of them, without the pressure of going to the rink for a day, and just, you know, maybe lighten the load on them a wee bit and get ourselves then charged up again for the weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting as well that, you know, these four games over these 5 days really breaks the back of the away fixtures. I think after that, we have 14, potentially 15 home fixtures to 7 away fixtures. So, you know, it throws the ball into our park with regards to, you know, being able to play and the remaining of our games at home. You know, I think the only additional potential home game would come should we win the Challenge Cup semi-final. But outside of that, get these four games in 5 days over us, then it's a lot of home comforts after that, which would be fantastic. Those games, like I say, on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Follow those from the webcast on Coventry Blaze TV, and then we go up on Friday night, 7:30 p.m. in Dundee, and Saturday night, 7 p.m. in Dundee at the DIA. If you're not going to that, join those lads on their webcast. And then, of course, the Five Flyers, 6 p.m. on Sunday, and their webcast as well. Yay! A lot of shouting on their webcast. Any other business, boys? We dealt with, of course, the important stuff at the start. I've been doing a bit more counting on the old Bleed Tail 100, and hopefully, something I need to organize is how we're going to complete all this. But yes, big thanks to everybody who's still sending in all their tweets of people getting out there and donating blood. It's a fantastic thing to do. You're helping 3 other people every time you donate just a pint of your own blood. It's such an easy thing to do. It's absolutely painless, and we encourage you to do it. Take a wee photograph of it, send us a tweet, send BleedTeal100, and we'll add you to our list.
I have my next one within the next week, so I'll be going there before next Tuesday.
Well, you won't be as much of a pin cushion as Andy Key, as I keep saying. The man just gets pin after pin after pin in his arms.
Yeah. Hopefully on the Rainer Razor, people that are doing it are probably hopefully following me on Twitter anyway. We've opened the Just Giving page to try and capture that extra 25% gift aid in their money, and It's up to nearly £1,600 at the minute. Wow. Granted, Boomerang Corner have donated £300 direct, so we're about £1,300 or so outstanding from people. Main says have donated our hits and blocks up to date, so keep an eye on that. If you want to donate your money rather than wait to the end of the season, please get involved. All Fantastic. Money to, what was it, Action Mental Health Northern Ireland?
Yep, Action Mental Health. There is something I need to say, but I cannot for the life of me. Normally I write it down in my notepad, but I forgot to do it and I can't remember what it is.
Fair enough. If you think, if you remember what it is, says, take a video of yourself doing it and we'll stick it on Twitter. That's okay, the way we'll do it. That'd be the easiest way to do it.
Probably be Friday or Saturday before I remember, so that's fine.
And on that note, Len, let's wrap it up. Big thanks to Sam Roop. Thanks to Adam Keefe for his time. Thanks to Coops and congratulations on winning the Player of the Month award. Thanks to you, Sis, for popping down there and picking us and setting that up. And thanks to you, Davey, for setting up the videos. The games, like I say, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. against Coventry. Friday and Saturday against the Dundee Stars in Dundee, and then Sunday against the Fife Flyers at 6 p.m. in Fife. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com, all your podcast platforms, and on YouTube. Big thank you to Mr. Kitchen and to Mr. Midgemsey.
Thanks, James.
We'll see you next week. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Can't believe I'm getting bed for 10:30. Sports Social Podcast Network.